You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller. And over the course of this month, we have been talking with various ministries and missionaries all around the world and some that are local that are doing a great work here in New England. And our next guest is a chaplain here in the prison ministry here in the Barnstable area. It's a great privilege to have David Robbins on the program with us today. He's also the father of two of our staff members. But that's not the reason he got his foot in the door. We really want to find out more information about his ministry. David, thank you so much for being a part of the Songtime Missions Emphasis Month.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate the opportunity.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about your ministry, Solid Rock Ministries. And it's a chaplaincy ministry, but tell us a little bit more about what you're actually doing.
Well, it's a full-time prison ministry, actually, and I started with Good News Jail and Prison Ministry and Harry Fletcher. I know you know Harry, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with them for 9 years, but I've been with Solid Rock Ministry, which is a small 501c3 that we started on our own after Good News, and I've been with them for 6 years now. And what we primarily do is go into the jail and share the gospel. We do Bible studies and church services. We do a lot of one-on-one, a lot of discipleship, a lot of counseling, ministering not just to the inmates but also to the staff as a chaplain in a prison setting.
Tell us a little bit about the unique challenges here in New England, because you're working in the prison, but you're also working with those once they are released from prison. So can you tell us a little bit about the unique geographical location and challenges that we have here in New England?
Yeah, the jail I work in is Barnstable County, and it is a fairly small jail, about 400 inmates, and it's local men and women that come right here from Cape Cod. Most of them, when they are released, will go right back into our communities and be shopping at Stop and Shop and getting gas where everybody else gets gas. And so our goal is to reach them with the gospel so that when they return, they're returning different people when they release from the jail and have a different take on life and can have an opportunity to move in a new direction. But one of the big issues we deal with here, and I'm sure it's an issue in many, many parts of our country, is the opiate epidemic. And many, I would say probably 75% of those who are incarcerated with us are dealing with drugs and alcohol as part of the problem. So it is very much a recovery ministry as well.
Yeah, HBO did a little short documentary on Cape Cod and the heroin epidemic that's taken place here. You've probably seen that for years, longer before most of us and a lot of the vacationers. If any of our listeners have visited Cape Cod, they probably would have never even thought that this is such a hub for such addictive behavior.
Yeah, Cape Cod is looked at as a vacation land. It's a place to go and go to the beach, but it's become, there's an underbelly to it, an underside that a lot of people never see. Several of the people in that film were people I ministered to at the jail, or at least attempted to.
As you work in the prison ministry, what access do you have as a chaplain? Do you have the ability to go in whenever you want? I mean, can you explain to us some of the logistics and the restrictions that you might have in this ministry?
Sure, yeah. Quite honestly, there are no restrictions. If I'm not a employee of the Sheriff's Department, though I work at the jail. Because we're an outside contract, we are free to really go in and share the gospel at any time with anybody in any unit, and which is great freedom in that. We might be under the auspices of a state otherwise, and they could put some regulations on us that could hamper things. But at this point, there's a great freedom. We've developed a fantastic rapport with the sheriff and the sheriff's department. We have about, right now, 17 volunteers that come in on a weekly basis and minister to the men and women through Bible studies and one-on-one. And so, yeah, there is a great freedom in being an outside contract like this, a separate ministry from the jail, not working for the state.
Can you tell us a little bit about what drew you to this ministry? I know your story, personally, but I'd like to have our listeners hear a little bit about your kind of calling to this ministry in specifics.
Sure. in some ways, my wife was more excited about jail ministry than I was. My story is that I spent some time in prison down in Florida, and that's where I came to know Christ while I was incarcerated down there at Appalachian Correctional Institute. And I went on to Bible college and went on to get a master's degree, and I did a lot of things that, taught Bible college, was an elder at a couple churches, just did church stuff, you know. I was a youth pastor for years, and did work within the prisons down there, as just taking men in as groups and doing Bible studies and that kind of thing, but never really thought of it as a career move until we moved up here. And Harry Fletcher was really the instigator of that whole thing. And my wife had for years said, "Don't you have a heart for jail ministry?" And I'm like, "Well, not really. I love teaching the word." And when we moved up here to New England, God just opened doors. We were not moving up here for that reason at all. And here we are. We've been here 17 years, and 15 of those years I've been a chaplain at a prison. So, yeah, it was one of those things where it was never not something I wanted to do, but it was not something that was on the radar prominently until I met Harry Fletcher, and he said, you ever thought about doing jail ministry?" I said, "Well, sort of, but not really." And it was a little bit of time before I got to the place where I felt like this could be something that God might be calling me to.
Do you think that your unique background, being saved while in prison, gives you a little bit of a platform to be able to share your testimony, to share your faith with the inmates?
Well, I think there's a way to relate to inmates differently than someone who has never been in prison. But one of the things I tell our volunteers, because I ask a question like that, "Look, you've been there, and you know how to relate to these guys. I've never been in jail." And I say to them, "Listen, the Word of God is truth. Preach the word, let it speak for itself, the Spirit of God will use it, and you'll do great ministry even though you've never been incarcerated yourself." And it works very, very well. One of the great things about inmates that maybe a lot of people don't know is that when volunteers come in, they understand that volunteers are there for their benefit, and they're very protective of the volunteers, they love the volunteers. We are in a different category than, let's say, an officer or staff in that sense. So there's a different perspective for them, for a volunteer that comes in to have a Bible study with them and share the love of Christ with them.
Tell us a little bit about the challenges that you face on a day-to-day basis and the needs for prayer, for volunteers, and support.
Yeah, we can always use more volunteers. That's one of the big thing we try to push and emphasize, and we would love to have Bible studies going on in every unit every day. And we do have a pretty good setup right now. The only day we don't have something going on right now is on a Saturday, but every other day has either a Bible study or church service or something going on for the inmates to have access to the Word and to a Bible study kind of thing. So volunteers are huge. We love to add new ones. We just added a couple this past week, and we'll continue to do that. There's always needs for help once the guys do get released, because we have a lot of guys who get saved, and then they're released back into the community and don't have a lot of resources often. I did run an aftercare house for 3.5 years in Falmouth, and it just became two full-time jobs, so after 3.5 years, I gave it over to a good friend, Steve O'Connell, who is doing a great job with it. He's running two houses now, which we still are able to work with guys coming out of the jail over there. So Steve's a dynamite guy.
Yeah, tell us more about the aftercare program, because this, I don't think many of our listeners realize, is that going from a prison with extreme amount of structure back into the world and having a stigma, having been in prison and getting back into your old friends, your old family, your old way of life. A lot of those things can be huge challenges. Tell us a little bit about what you're able to do to help in that process.
Well, we're always, there's clothing and that kind of thing. The hardest thing, the two biggest things that guys need coming out of jail are housing and work. Those are the two toughest areas to get back in the swing of thing with. And part of it is because everybody does a background check today. And a lot of businesses don't want someone who's a drug addict. And so it's a struggle. And man, like I said, 75% of the guys over there are drugs and alcohol. So it works a very difficult one, but finding housing as well. And just recently, none of the sober houses on the Cape, they've all been, I don't know what the word is, but they've been let go as far as parole goes until certain qualifications are met. So a lot of the houses that were being used are no longer being used. And that's all of a sudden we have less housing available for guys coming out. There are plenty of sober houses around, but if they're coming out on parole, they can't. They have to go off Cape and go somewhere else. And bed space is always an issue. There's never enough beds, never enough housing for guys. And most of these guys are coming out with nothing. So we're trying to hook them up. We've got a couple people that are willing to give rides to people leaving the jail. Got a couple people that are willing to try to help them find and establish work. We're working through the churches as much as we can to let them know that we've got a guy coming out who has these kind of skills, and we're looking for opportunities for them to get back into the workforce. And so that works out sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. And so it is a difficult thing for sure.
We've been talking with Chaplain David Robbins from Solid Rock Ministries as he works in the prison here in the Barnstable County with the inmates there, and really in the transition period of bringing them when they get out of prison and getting them back into society. A great ministry, and as my professor used to say, whenever you have a captive audience, preach the gospel, because they don't have a choice but to listen, and you certainly do have a great opportunity to share the good news with these inmates. If you'd like to find out more information about David Robbins and the ministry of Solid Rock Ministries, please head over to our website at songtime.com or simply give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. David, thank you so much for joining us and being a part of our Missions Emphasis Month.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate the opportunity. Have a blessed day, brother.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.